Kansas. Vic, a suspended NFL quarterback, was convicted of dogfighting. He'll serve 2 months of home confinement. I'm Ken Duffy, Fox News Radio.
Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling is a live call-in radio program providing doctrinal dialogue, cultural commentary, and insightful interviews with some of today's foremost Christian authors and leaders. Knowing the Truth is the outreach ministry of the Mountain Bridge Bible Fellowship, located on Highway 25 in Traveler's Rest. The goal of the church and the radio program is to seek the glory of God in the salvation of sinners and the sanctification of the saints by the ministry of the Word. For more information, go to www.knowingthetruth.org. Here with today's edition of Knowing the Truth is Pastor Kevin Bowling.
Well, good afternoon to you. I'm Isaac Feinman. Today, Pastor Bowling is out of the studio, but we've got a very wonderful guest with us. His name is Pastor Scotty Anderson, and he's going to be discussing the topic today of adoption from a biblical worldview perspective, and we're looking forward to hearing more about what he has to say. Our phone number is still open for you if you have a comment or a question. Let's give that to you right at the very beginning, 888-660-9535. That's 1-888-660-WLFJ. As I said, I am Isaac Feinman, and I'm here with Pastor Scotty Anderson. And Pastor Anderson is over at the Woodruff Road Presbyterian Church. It's a PCA church right here in upstate South Carolina in Greenville. And Pastor, you are the pastor to families and youth. And we were talking before the show began, you guys have 13 elders at your church, and you're one of three teaching elders, and you guys have 10 ruling elders. That's a big number.
It is a big number. I think it has a large part to do with the fact that the teaching elders need a lot more supervision than a typical church, and so they've bumped up those numbers considerably. No, we have a great congregation and a great group of men that are leading the church, very active in shepherding, and it's just a great privilege for me to serve there. Alongside the pastoral staff and the rest of those elders and deacons at Woodruff Road, great church. And I very much appreciate how much they've been supportive of the topic that we're talking about today. Almost a year ago, probably 18 months ago, my wife and I got started in the adoption process. Felt God's calling to do that, talked about it, prayed about it, had fantastic support from our senior pastor, Carl Robbins. It was just a real encouragement to us. Took it to the elders, presented them with some ideas for how we could advance that cause church-wide, and they've been just amazingly supportive in their desire to take an active pro-life stance that is more than just being anti-abortion, but really pursuing life through orphan care. So a great opportunity for us, and that's why it's such a privilege today to be talking with the guests that we have on with Dr. Russell Moore, who is going to be the first guest, I believe, coming up. He's waiting for us on the line. Dr. Mm-hmm. Moore, are you there?
I sure am, Pastor Scotty. Good to talk with you.
Well, it's great to talk with you. Very much interested in the work that you've done and are doing. Listened to a few of your sermons and am currently reading your book. I just got it in my hands this past week. And it is a wonderful, wonderful topic. I think I was crying in the foreword by C.J. Mahaney before I got to the actual text. And my wife and I have been very much encouraged by it already. Dr. Moore, just real quickly, so we can introduce our listeners to you. You are the dean of a school of theology at a tiny little seminary in Louisville, Kentucky. What's the name of that seminary?
It's the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary.
The Southern Baptist Theological Seminary, yes. It's a great school. Appreciate the work that's being done there over the past few years. And you're also the preaching pastor at Highview Baptist Church there in Louisville as well.
That's correct.
And Adopted for Life is your second book. We're going to ask you a few questions about that shortly, but I'd like to know a little bit more about your family personally, your introduction to adoption, and how your family's grown through adoption. Could you answer that?
Well, my wife and I found ourselves going through a very difficult time of infertility and miscarriages, and the Lord led us just kind of against our will and apart from really our knowledge of what He was doing into a place where we found ourselves moving toward adoption. And the whole experience transformed our lives for the better in every sense of the word, not only in our family, but also in our understanding of the Lord Jesus and His gospel. We found ourselves in Russia, in a little tiny Russian mining village down actually near Ukraine, where we adopted two, at that time, 1-year-old boys. and they are now 7 years old and playing Little League and having a great time, and we're just very, very devoted to God for what he's done to us through our family.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, your story was very exciting and very convicting personally. I think it would be for a number of people. That's why I want to encourage people, if they can get a copy of the book as soon as they can, to do that. There are a good number of books that are on adoption that have been written, and certainly there are a number of systematic theological treatments of theological adoption. Why would you need to write your book in particular?
Because I wanted to write the book not to people who are wanting a step-by-step manual as to how to adopt, and not particularly to people who are needing to find their way through the adoption process, although there's some of that in there. I wanted the kind of book that I wished that I had had when I started thinking through the issue of adoption, because I was very reluctant at first. I remember when my wife first brought up the subject, I said, you know, I would love to adopt someday, but right now I just really want to have my own children first, was the way that I put it. I'm horrified to even repeat those words now, but that's what I said at the time. And this book really is about somebody like me at the time needing to really think through the issue. And I wrote the book for a man or a woman who isn't sure whether or not the Lord is calling them to adopt, they can read, or to a family member of somebody who is going through adoption, or to a pastor or a church leader who is trying to think through how adoption ought to fit in a local church. And so it's not so much for, you always have people around the country, especially now that God is doing things when it comes to orphan care. There are a lot of us out here who are really, really committed pro-adoption people, and I'm one of those people now. This book isn't really for them. It's for the people who aren't yet quite sure what adoption means, and it's to try to show them how caring for orphans and promoting a culture of adoption really isn't about children in the end. It's about the gospel.
Mm. That's very well said. So let me ask you this question to follow on. Which came first for you, the theology or the practice? Your book seems to read, sometimes I can't tell which way it's reading. Is your own personal experience informing your theology, or I want to be careful as I say it, enlightening your theology, or is it your theology driving you to the adoption itself?
Well, I think it works both ways, which is, I think, how God works. I mean, what does Jesus tell us? He says, those of you who, being evil, you would not give your children a stone if your child asked for bread, neither will your heavenly Father. It works both ways. Your understanding of what God is like informs then how you treat your children, and your understanding of how you treat your children shows you something about what God is like. Mm-hmm. That's the way that Jesus consistently teaches us in the Scriptures, and that's what happened here. I did have a theology of adoption. I had preached and lectured on adoption, but it was a theory, and I really had not seen, I hadn't been confronted with the ways that my own carnality was evading the truth of that. It was kind of like the way that we sometimes pray, we know all of the words to pray, and so it's hobbity, 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 in Jesus' name, amen. Which is a very different kind of prayer than the kind of prayer that one will offer when he's, you know, next to his dying wife's bedside. Mm-hmm. And there's a very different sense of urgency. Now you understand the Lord's Prayer and the 23rd Psalm in a way that you hadn't previously. That's what was happening here. I found myself answering questions that alarmed me. As we were beginning the adoption process, I had people saying things like, have you ever met their real mother? Or are they really brothers? And things like this. And I would be so frustrated with trying to explain the fact that this was really a family that I found as I was reading through those adoption passages in Romans 8 and in Galatians 4 and Ephesians 1, Paul is not simply saying, oh, let me give you a helpful metaphor to understand the gospel, and here's what it is. Instead, Paul is just as frustrated as I was and about the exact same thing. You really are, Jews and Gentiles, slave and free, brothers, because you've been brought into this new household that's not according to the flesh, it's according to the Spirit. And so I think both directions worked at the same time to give me a new sense of what was going on. And I think the same thing is happening with what God is doing all over the world as more and more Christians are hearing the cry of the orphan.
Oh, that seems to be the case. I'm very excited for Dan Kruber and Together for the Adoption, the work that they're doing to raise the issue more from a theological perspective. Now, let me ask you, this might be a little tougher question, and this goes off track just a little bit, but you're addressing a good number of issues in the book, and there are a number of people that are detractors from adoption, for adopting. Some older people sometimes have some resistance to it, as well as there are some people in terms of international adoption that are hesitant. They say we should be adopting at home American children. We shouldn't be adopting within our outside our ethnic groups. Do you have answers for any of those questions?
Well, I find myself encountering on an almost daily basis people who are adopting, usually younger couples who are adopting, who have parents or grandparents or extended family members who are opposed to it. Sometimes because the couple is adopting outside of the family's ethnic group, or because the extended family members believe it's need to adopt a child or something along those lines. My answer to that is, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, if you have been adopted into the house of God, then you have absolutely no reason to oppose adoption or trans-ethnic adoption or international adoption at all. Now, what that means is not everybody is called to adopt in the exact same way. For some people, international adoption is best. For some people, domestic adoption is best. For some people, foster care is best. All of those things are good and right, and I would encourage couples that the Lord's calling to adopt to look into what's best for them. But the reflexive attitude of we want to stay with our own is precisely contrary to the gospel.
Very good. I think it's very well said, and very thankful for my particular family. We've had wonderful support from every one of my grandparents as we entered the process, and we're adopting from Ethiopia, and so we didn't know if there'd be questions, and but found that there was a great deal of grace there, so we're thankful for that. And it's good when people are addressing that. I think we shouldn't let people be too comfortable when they are uncomfortable with that. Now, let me ask you just one more question. One of the things that you address in your book is the theology of adoption as sons. Some of our translations miss that sometimes. Could you just quickly touch on how you explain that in your book?
Well, sometimes people see adoption as sons, and they become really uncomfortable with that because they think, well, we want to include women, of course, who receive the adoption, and so let's change it to sons and daughters. Well, it's not sons and daughters. Paul is specifically addressing women in, for instance, Galatians 3 and 4, but he says you've received the adoption as sons. And the reason he does that is because he understands that his hearers would know that if you are a daughter, your inheritance comes through your husband. But if you are the son, your inheritance comes through your father. It comes to you directly from your father. And so Paul says you've received the adoption as sons, which means that all of us, Jew and Gentile, slave and free, male and female, we all receive the exact same inheritance that comes to us in Jesus Christ, which is everything, the ends of the earth. Mm. We have everything waiting for us in Christ.
Well, that's wonderful. Well, Dr. Moore, it's been a great privilege to have you on the show today. Very thankful for your contributions here. Is there anything else that you would like to draw attention to? I've got you on the phone that our listeners ought to look at that maybe they wouldn't look at otherwise on the topic of adoption.
Well, I would just say to all of your listeners that the Scripture says in James chapter 1 that all of us are called to minister to orphans, not just some of us. And so every one of your listeners, every one of them who belong to Jesus Christ, have some part to play in this. And what I would ask them to do is to pray and ask the Lord, would you have me to adopt a child? Would you have me to help fund someone else adopting a child? Would you have me to start an orphan ministry in my congregation? Would you have me to minister to a family as they go through the process of adoption? Any number of things, but I would just encourage your listeners to pray and ask God how they can be involved in ministering to orphans.
That is never wrong. Well, Dr. Moore, thank you very much. We appreciate your time today, and I hope to speak to you again in the future.
Thanks so much. I appreciate it, Scotty.
Blessings to you. Well, with us today, we've had Dr. Russell Moore, the Dean of the School of Theology at Southern Baptist Theological Seminary. I want to encourage you again. The title of his book is Adopted for Life, The Priority of Adoption for Christian Families and Churches. Wonderful reading, a highly endorsed book. I want to encourage you to go out and get that as fast as you can. Continue tuning in with us. We'll have with us in the next block Mr. Paul Pennington of Hope for Orphans.
You're listening to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. For more information about today's program, the radio ministry, and the resources we offer, go to www.knowingthetruth.org.
With tail-thrashing dinosaurs, 5 state-of-the-art theaters, plus an incredible 160 exhibits, the Creation Museum presents a journey through history that will capture your imagination and appeal to your senses. Walk through the lush Garden of Eden and see exotic animals. Voyage with Noah on the Ark, or buckle into your planetarium seat and prepare for liftoff. Seats rumble and a cool mist rises in our special effects theater, and animatronic people converge with our guests. Come face to face with a monstrous moving sauropod and have your children settle up on our triceratops. Browse through our Dragon Hall bookstore to find the latest in DVDs, reference books, and curricula. And our beautiful outdoor gardens lend a finishing touch to your museum experience. Located minutes from the Cincinnati airport, the Creation Museum provides 60,000 square feet of family fun. Prepare to believe.
Here's Dr. Everett of Strides Nonprofit Tutoring with another academic tip.
Young people need a lot of free reading to build skills, but some parents worry that their child chooses books that are too easy. Actually, in the early grades, kids need a lot of reinforcement in those easy words. So don't worry, just be glad they're reading. Our website is www.stridestutor.org or call 246-9898.
It's great pizza for a great price. So pack up the family and head over to Speedy B's near Walmart on Woodruff Road in Greenville. At Speedy B's, you'll find friendly faces and at least a dozen pizzas out at all times. Or you can order a pizza. They'll make it fresh just for you at no extra cost. So visit Speedy B's today.
Hi, this is Pastor Kevin Bowling, and I want to take the time to thank John, Ruth, Carlos, and the good folks over there at Speedy B's Pizza for their support of the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast.
Welcome back to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. Information regarding the resources referenced on today's program can be found at www.knowingthetruth.org. Now, here to continue with today's program is Pastor Kevin Bowling.
Welcome back into Knowing the Truth. I'm Isaac Feinman. It's a pleasure to have you with us today. Pastor Bowling is out of the studio today, and our phone number is certainly open for you if you have a comment or a question about what we've already discussed. That phone number is toll-free, and it's 1-888-660-9535, 888-660-WLFJ. We'd love to hear from you today. We're talking about adoption, and it's from a biblical worldview perspective that we're looking at that. And our guest host today is Pastor Scotty Anderson. And Pastor Anderson is at the Woodruff Road Presbyterian Church in Greenville on Woodruff Road, of course. And he is a pastor to families and to youth. And, Pastor, welcome back in.
It's great to be here today. Great, Kevin, and you to have me on the show and to see if I could fill into his very big shoes. Talking about a very big subject here. One of the things that I have to go back and rebuke myself, because I began to talk about adoption, and a lot of people find out when they go down the road of exploring adoption, they realize that it is actually a much larger topic that they're looking into. When you look at it from a biblical perspective, it's not simply adoption, it's orphan care. It's a broader category. With us right now, we have Mr. John Moore, who is with Hope for Orphans, Ministry of Family Life, and we want to talk to him about just a couple of issues. John, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Hey, John, it's great to have you with us. Tell us just a little bit about your position there at Hope for Orphans. What is it that you are doing for the ministry?
Well, I'm the content manager for Hope for Orphans, and what I do is I create content, which makes sense from the title, create biblically based content for churches, aimed at churches, hopefully equipping them to care for orphans however God has called them to do that. And we also do workshops for churches, helping them to start orphans ministries. So we're all about serving the church in doing whatever God has called them to do on behalf of orphans.
Well, I appreciate very much the way you put that, serving the church, and as a beneficiary of that, attempting to minister and to begin to do orphan care ministry in the church and stir up our congregation in that respect. It's very helpful when there are others who are generating content for us to give us a direction in which to go. If you could, tell us just a little bit. You are the coordinator for the National Foster Care Prayer Vigil, which is happening, I believe, this week. Tell us just a little bit about the intention of that program.
Well, the National Foster Care Prayer Vigil actually began a couple of years ago. There was a prayer vigil in Little Rock, Arkansas, and a group of people got together and just prayed for the kids in foster care, for the families, for the workers, and also for the church's response. And out of that prayer vigil grew a ministry called The Call, which stands for Children of Arkansas Love for a Lifetime, in which churches are getting together and raising up families, Christian families, to take in the children in foster care in their area. So last year we decided to take this nationwide, and we started promoting it in April of last year, and it took place in May. And there were 32 states, well, there were vigils in 32 states, 100 vigils overall in 32 states last year. And this year we've gone a little larger, and we currently know of 205 vigils happening this week, and a couple before, a couple after, in 45 states, I believe, plus two in Canada. It's a partnership between the Cry of the Orphan campaign partners, which are focused on the family, Show Hope, which is Stephen Curtis and Mary Beth Chapman's ministry, and Hope for Orphans, which is the ministry that I work for.
That's great. Tell me a little bit about how these organizations get together. What was it, as far as you know, that drew them together for this ministry?
Well, they actually, the three ministries have been drawn together for the Cry of the Orphan campaign, which is a media campaign that takes place in November of each year. And it's really aimed at getting the word out to the Christian community about God's heart for orphans and about ways that we can meet the needs of orphans, the 140 million plus orphans in the world. Hmm. And so the three ministries have partnered on various projects in the past, and this was natural for us to partner together on as well. And so it's worked out very, very well. These vigils that are taking place across the country, some of them are very elaborate. There are people who are doing church-wide or city-wide vigils, and then there are other people who are doing them within the context of an already existing Bible study or small group, and some people are doing them just with their families, in the privacy of their own homes. It doesn't matter. We just want to make sure people are getting together and praying for these kids.
Sure, that's great. You know, I think some of our listeners would be interested to know, what does a prayer vigil look like in one of these occasions? How do they organize it? I'm sure it's going to be different in different places.
Absolutely. I mean, they, like I was saying, that they can look very, very different. There's a group in Southern California that's doing a prayer walk. They're meeting at a pier, and just they're starting at the pier and doing a prayer walk through their city. There's one in Michigan that happened earlier this week where they just opened their door, a church opened their doors all day for people from the community to come in throughout the day and just pray. Yesterday at Family Life headquarters in Little Rock, Arkansas, there was a prayer vigil for children of staff. And they I've seen pictures from that. I'm actually not in Little Rock, but I've seen pictures from that, and it was really cool to see kids on the floor praying to God for these children who don't have many of the privileges that these children have. So they really look different depending on who's organizing. But we have some basic guidelines on our website. We have a prayer vigil guide that you can download or order, and it tells you how to pray for the children, how to pray for the workers, how to pray for the families, how to pray for the church. And we also have other materials that help educate people about the foster care crisis as well.
Oh, that's great. John, could you give us one more time the website information just so our listeners
yes.
can go there?
That website is fostercareprayervigil.org. So it's www.fostercareprayervigil.org.
All right, they can go there. The listeners can go there. They can download forms that give them some direction on how they could participate in this. And recognize that this is a broad-based effort. This is not denominational. This is for those who have a heart for orphan care, who want to be involved in that sense. And so, again, whoever you are, wherever you are listening today, know that this these ministries are very accessible for believers in Jesus Christ. We'll be back in just a few moments. We now have Mr. Paul Pennington on the air waiting for us, and we'll come back and introduce him in just a few minutes.
are listening to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. For more information about today's program, the radio ministry, and the resources we offer, go to www.knowingthetruth.org.
Hi, this is Rick McConnell with a Disciple Tip. You already know that going to church just makes your life better. But according to scientists, going to church can also make you live longer. According to a long-term U.S. government-funded study of the health of 92,000 people, those who went to church at least once a week, on average, lived longer than those who did not attend. And those who went to church twice a week cut their chances of dying early in life by 20%. You may have to look around a bit, but find a good church near you. Live better. Live longer. You're locked into Christian Talk 660.
More and more, people are deciding to secure their family's safety by applying for a South Carolina concealed weapons permit. Dry Fire's class includes the NRA basic pistol course and state training requirements for a concealed carry permit. The class includes instruction from NRA-certified instructors, info on South Carolina gun laws, the written exam, and qualifying with a firearm on the outdoor range. Register for South Carolina's concealed weapons permit class by calling 608-1522 or log on to dry-fire.com.
Here's Dr. Everett of Strides Nonprofit Tutoring with another academic tip.
Sometimes a student has a reading assignment that's just too hard. Here's a way to help a child get through tough material. Trade words. You read one, he reads one. It not only helps the child make it through the text, but the student reads every one of the words along the way. It's a great bonding time, too, as you support your child. Our website is stridestutor.org or call 246-9898.
It's great pizza for a great price. So pack up the family and head over to Speedy B's near Walmart on Woodruff Road in Greenville. At Speedy B's, you'll find friendly faces and at least a dozen pizzas out at all times. Or you can order a pizza and they'll make it fresh just for you at no extra cost. So visit Speedy B's today.
Hi, this is Pastor Kevin Bowling, and I want to take the time to thank John, Ruth, Carlos, and the good folks over there at Speedy B's Pizza for their support of the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast.
Welcome back to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. Information regarding the resources referenced on today's program can be found at www.knowingthetruth.org. Now, here to continue with today's program is Pastor Kevin Bowling.
Welcome back into Knowing the Truth. It's a pleasure to be with you today. And we've had some wonderful discussion today with wonderful men of God, and we want to hear from you as well. We do have a line open. If you have a question or a comment, you can certainly call us toll-free at 1-888-660-WLFJ. That's 1-888-660-9535. Very important theological discussion, but a very important practical discussion as well. And Pastor Scotty, I know this is near and dear to your heart. We appreciate you being with us, and we're borrowing some time from your responsibilities over at Woodruff Road Presbyterian Church, but it's always a pleasure to have fine men of God like yourself here with us to share in the work of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Thanks, Isaac. It's great again to be here. I'm so excited to be used by God in this way to get to talk about something that's precious to Him in terms of orphan care ministry. Mr. Pennington, we have on the phone with us. He is the executive director of Hope for Orphans. It's a ministry of family life, and many people know of the ministry of family life, but Hope for Orphans might be something that's new to them. And so we want to talk to Paul about some of the ministry that's going on there right now. And Paul, just real quickly, could you introduce us to Hope for Orphans? What exactly, why exactly does it exist?
You bet, Pastor Scotty. It's just a real privilege to be with you guys today, and thank you for letting us join you. Hope for Orphans was launched about 6 years ago, and as you guys were mentioning, we're a ministry of family life, and of course, family life is a part of Campus Crusade for Christ. And Hope for Orphans has a very focused mission. Our mission is serving every church to reach every orphan. And we believe that in God's design, that children and orphans were meant to be in a family. And if it can't be a forever family by which they are adopted if they're an orphan, at least within the love and the reach of the body of Christ. And Hope for Orphans is primarily involved in three things. One, as y'all have been talking about here the last few minutes, we're involved in raising awareness about God's heart for the orphan. You know, over 40 times in God's Word, it speaks directly to Israel and the church about the non-optional love that God expects for orphans, widows, and strangers. And we're trying to raise awareness about orphan ministry in North America with our friends. The second thing that we do is we develop content and resources to help local churches in their invitation from God and how He wants to use them in the lives of our orphans and foster kids. You see, we believe that at the very best, at Hope for Orphans, we're the bridesmaid, and that's a big difference in the bride. The church, your church, that is the bride, and our purpose is to serve the bride. And we do that with content and events all around the subject. The third thing that we do that's a lot of fun is that we are a connecting resource. And as we are involved in serving local churches and helping them to get the vision and launch orphan ministries, it's very amazing to me how God leads them into the different channels. And a lot of times we have the privilege of introducing them to other partners who also want to serve the local church and making a difference in the lives of fatherless kids. That's kind of in a nutshell what we do.
Paul, you are just trying to flatter me here. You're hitting on all the things that I love, orphan care, the local church, and being connectional. I think you might be Presbyterian, whether you know it or not. And that's great. I'd love to hear more about why put emphasis on the local church as the place where the ministry should be taking place.
And you know, it's interesting you say what you just said, Pastor Scotty, is that one of the things that I've learned, I do come from a Bible church perspective myself, but the thing I have learned and God has taught me that orphan ministry and what God's Word says about it is not a theological divider. Incredibly, it's a unifier.
Amen.
It's really wonderful when you begin to think about Matthew 25, when the sheep and the goats are separated, the question won't be, were you dispensational or reformed? You know what I mean?
I do know what you mean. That's very well said.
But let me just say this, is that to me, the scripture is extremely clear that God works through the church. In all honesty, the parachurch doesn't exist in God's Word.
Mm.
I think the parachurch has only been here in order to meet needs that have been unmet. Because here in North America, for the last 50 to 60 years, we kind of forgot what orphan care was. We thought it was maybe writing a check and putting a picture on a refrigerator, out of sight, out of mind. But in reality, before Angelina Jolie and Madonna, the church was doing orphan care for 20 centuries.
Oh, that's right.
And that is our DNA, and we're just here as a catalyst and wanting to help bring the church back to that. But bottom line, with 143 million orphans and over 500,000 kids in the United States, there's only one body that I know that has the mandate, has the power, has the capacity, and has the reach for that number of kids, and that is the church. And in the end, most orphans are not going to be adopted by American families, and I think what that means ultimately in terms of orphan care, that the church in North America has an incredible opportunity as the most affluent Christians probably to have ever lived in 20 centuries, to learn what it means to be a servant to the church in country, to come alongside them, not with money, but with their lives, to help them, to serve them as they become the God's answer for these children. So that's why I believe the church is the answer.
Well, that is so well said. I'm so thankful for that perspective, and I think that's something that all of our listeners would be encouraged to hear. The emphasis on local church is, I think that's so important that we can continue to do that. I know personally, trying to introduce our body to orphan care started out the way it would for a lot of people. Started out with our own personal pursuit of adoption. And this is a little crass, but one of our friends just shared with us that many times adoption is the crack of orphan care, meaning the highly addictive drug. You get introduced to it and your perspective gets broadened. Then you realize there's this whole ministry out there that, as you made so clear before, that the scriptures make this a mandate for all believers. This is not optional. Adoption may be a particular calling, but orphan care is something that everyone must be committed to.
That's exactly right. You know, one of our friends at Hope for Orphans that we love is Pastor John Piper.
Mm.
And Pastor Piper says something I think is really powerful. He says, if you really want to be blessed, and of course this goes back to Deuteronomy 29 and whether you left any olives behind, but Pastor Piper says, if you really want to be blessed, I mean seriously, if you want to be blessed, then be concerned about the things that concern the heart of God.
Mm.
And what's happening across America, as Hope for Orphans has had the privilege of seeing orphan ministries launched in local churches, what happens is exactly, Pastor, what you said. As they begin to be available for how God wants to use them, what happens ultimately is that they experience the reality of God. And when you experience the reality of God in joining him where he's working, there isn't anything better than that. There's no going back. It doesn't get better than that. And so orphan ministry, in many ways, is bringing, I believe, the church back to the essential realities of the gospel. In the end, this is about the visible gospel, and it's anecdotal for the entertainment-based, me-centered, narcissistic Christianity that we sometimes see in North America.
Yeah, I think you're right on with that. All right, tell me this. Some people are very intimidated. There are a lot of reasons to be intimidated by both adoption and orphan care. It is a big role. 143 million orphans in the world is just a staggering number that we can't get our minds around. What should a local church be doing? How can they jump into this, whether they're a small church or a large church, whatever the resources are? What would you give them as a gateway into something that's chewable?
That's a great answer, and I mean, a great question, and I hope I have a decent answer. But that's a great question, and the first thing is don't think about the numbers. Every child is valuable because he or she is made in the image of God. And if your ministry and your church makes a difference in the life of one child, that has kingdom potential that will cause the angels to cheer.
Hmm.
And so that makes it all the while worth it. But here's a couple of things that I would recommend. At hopefororphans.org, that's our website, hopefororphansplural.org, folks can find all kinds of content that they can download. Right now, most churches that I work with, there's families like you and I who have adopted or been to an orphanage on a mission trip or been an advocate for a foster child, and they understand that this is God's heart, and they just want to know what to do. Most churches, almost all the churches we've worked with, are lay-led, not pastors. The pastors, we just go to them and ask for their blessing and their support and their prayers and their counsel. And this is not another job for the pastor. This is lay-led. This is the surrendered being available to be used. And if they go to hopefororphans.org, they can see that, for example, we have a book called Launching Orphans Ministry in Your Church, which breaks it down into 8 basic steps on how to develop a plan, how to come together and seek God's will for the places that you can start in your church. There's 3 basic channels: orphan care, adoption, and foster care. Well, your church may already have a sister church in Ukraine, and because of that, there's an opportunity to be involved with the HIV orphans in Ukraine. Or you may have a lot of families that have adopted in your church over the last 10 or 15 years that could provide a support group to families that are interested. Lots of ways to get started. Another thing that we do, this is an interesting fact, is that the Dave Thomas Foundation did a study, and they found that 81 million Americans have considered adoption at least once in their life. And when they asked the sample group, where would you go to learn more about adoption if that was something you were going to pursue, 48% of them said our local church. My local church is where I think I would go to learn.
Hmm.
But most churches, sadly, in America right now are not very equipped. Though we are, our whole purpose of our life has been developed through the concept of our spiritual adoption in Christ. We're not in a very good position in recent years to answer that question. Well, at Hope for Orphans, we did an introductory workshop called If You're Mine, excuse me, and If You're Mine is a 7-part curriculum to help couples learn more about what adoption's really like, how do you afford it, who do you trust, what's it really like, those sort of questions. And now we have that in a DVD format so that churches can customize it, use it for Sunday school, you know, one Saturday a month, whatever. It equips local churches and lay leaders to be able to do adoption education as an outreach of their church. So that's an example of one of the things you can do.
Hey, oh, that is great. That just reminded me. I think October 17th, you're going to be in the upstate at a First Baptist Church in Simpsonville. Is that right, as far as you know?
You know, I don't remember, to be honest.
Okay, well, put that on your calendar.
This is John. That's for the Your Church and the Orphan Workshop.
That's right.
That's another workshop that we do.
Yeah. Let me just explain that. Yeah, I'm so sorry. I should know that. Good thing that I have people
there
that remember things right. But your Church in the Orphan is a live event that we do in which these lay leaders from churches can bring a group of their compadres who have the same passion, and they come spend a day with us, and they learn the 8 steps in an interactive, multimedia kind of environment, how to launch orphan ministry. And we've done this all over the country. What's so cool is that usually we have between 25, 30 churches. We'll send teams of 1, 2, all the way up to 12 people, and they actually launch orphans ministry as a community, which is very powerful when you've got multiple churches launching at the same time to make a difference for the lives of the kids there and around the world.
Tell you what, let me go ahead and stop you there. I'm going to remind people, and I want to come back and revisit this again after the break. But that's going to be at First Baptist Church in Simpsonville on October 17th. That's a Saturday. You want to put that on your calendars. You can get more information just by Googling First Baptist Church in Simpsonville. They've got something already in the works as far as their orphan care and adoption ministry, and very excited about what they're doing. But this would be something that you could grab those people who are already passionate about it, already involved in some way in orphan care in your churches, if you're a listener, and bring them over to First Baptist Simpsonville to that seminar. Then you'd have a little more personal time with Mr. Pennington and other members of the staff, getting familiar with the ways that you can plug into a ministry and begin a ministry in your church. And I just want you to know, give a pastor's highest endorsement. We love it when lay people are passionate about ministry, and we can use their gifts. We'll be right back after this break.
I know you've heard the story, but they all sound too good to be true. You've heard about a place called home, but there doesn't seem to be one for you. So one more night you cry yourself to sleep and drift off to a distant dream where love takes you in. Changes.
Good afternoon, I'm Isaac Feinman. You're listening to a special edition of Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. And Pastor Bowling is out of the studio today. We're enjoying a wonderful discussion about adoption from a biblical perspective, what it means both theologically and also practically. That was Stephen Curtis Chapman with his beautiful song, When Love Takes You In. He is the founder of Shohanna's Hope, and that's a ministry that the brothers have been speaking about today, one of the many ministries that help pastors and parents become equipped and empowered to do what God has called us to do, and one of those things is adoption that we've been speaking about today. And that sort of dovetails into one of the ministries also that we've mentioned today, Cry of the Orphans. And I know, Pastor Scotty, that's a ministry that we have been involved with here at Christian Talk 660 and, of course, the His Radio Network. And we look forward to being involved again in November. And that's a ministry that is sort of an outreach of several ministries combined along with Family Life.
Yeah, it is. It's so exciting now to be in this process. My wife and I, just speaking personally, coming into it when there's just a great body of theological and practical resources that are available for couples that are looking to adopt, that want to know the Christian foundations of it, that want to know of support from others who've gone down that road and who've dealt with it biblically, and then also even knowing about some of the financial resources that are out there that are available to help. Some people are very fearful of adoption because of the price tag often associated with it. That scares people away, frankly. And so there are resources available that we want our listeners to know about. And maybe if we could, Paul, while we've got you on the line, can you even recommend or just give some encouragement to families that might be wondering, I'm excited about adoption, but I just don't know how we could ever overcome some of the costs associated with that?
You know what? That's probably one of the top two questions that we hear, Pastor, wherever we go, is about how does anybody afford this? And the first thing I would say is this. Is don't think of it as a price or a fee. You know, when Jesus came for our spiritual adoption, it says that he came to pay what? A ransom.
Mm.
And when you think about this life that God may be bringing to you, your real child, it's not your adopted child. I believe that in God's sovereignty, that when he calls a family, and the key word is calls, when he calls a family to adopt, and he chooses that child from eternity to be yours, that it is your real child. It may not be your genetic child, but it's your real child. And not only that, he's more than able to provide the ransom to complete this process. And there are some wonderful, really practical things that we can share. At hopeforphans.org, we have a little thing called our financial assistance panic button there. You can find a link about financial assistance. I love that panic button idea. And what you'll find there are some really good friends of ours whose whole ministry is just to help bridge this need through grants, matching grants, and through no-interest loans. Examples of that would be like Show Hope. Our friend, you've been talking about Stephen Curtis Chapman, one of our closest partners. Who does that is Show Hope, and Life Song, which is out of Illinois and does wonderful work, and the Abba Fund there in North Carolina are wonderful friends of ours. And the other thing is that I believe a lot of times we don't know how we're going to be able to come up with all of the resources for an adoption, because it's an opportunity to demonstrate not only the reality of our Lord, but to bring glory to him. If I could just tell you a tiny story, I'll illustrate.
Go right ahead.
My wife and I have six kids. Five of ours came to us through adoption. And the last one was Noah from Korea, who was a special needs guy. And by the time we got to him, there wasn't any money left in the 401k or anything. And it got down to it. We were $2,500 short to get Noah. And I'll always remember we got the call, and they said, it's time to go get Noah. And I did something that we do not recommend at Hope for Orphans. But I used my credit card. My kids are kind of embarrassed that I had to charge Noah to get him home. But I charged him. And but you know what? In God's grace, we kept praying, and our children at home kept praying. And I remember Noah had been home about 3 weeks, They were all playing out in the front yard, and the mail came, and my wife's the one that always gets the mail, and there was a big stack that day. And on the very, and my children were all watching this, and we were, I'm sorry, we were $2,000 short, not $2,500, $2,000 short. And my wife opened the first envelope, and there was some letter, a letter for some friends we hadn't seen in 4 years. And they said, six weeks ago, the Lord told us to send you all some money for your adoption ministry or for your family. And we really wanted to build a patio, and we didn't do it. We hesitated, but we're, here it is, and we're not building the patio. And it was a $1,000 check.
Wow.
That... And my kids saw my wife open that. And we got a little bit further down the stack, Pastor, and there was another envelope. And what do you think on just this one day, this one time, how much do you think the check in that envelope was for?
I imagine it was something near what you needed.
It was $1,000.
Amazing.
And the wonderful thing was is that not only did it demonstrate how real our Lord is and that he can provide the ransom, but my children saw a demonstration of that as well that they'll never forget. So sometimes the money part is an opportunity to trust the Lord. You know, you can't walk on the water if you don't get out of the boat sometimes.
Yeah, that is amazing how many stories there are like that. We've had so many of our friends that have shared similar stories, and God graciously provides the way he does for our salvation. He does it for the adoption of these children. It even reminds me, our friend Pastor Rick Phillips from Second Presbyterian Church here in Greenville, was talking to him at one point in the adoption process, a little discouraged by some of the administrative turmoil that goes along with it and how long things were taking. And he said, "Scotty, don't you understand what it took for God to adopt you? Do you understand the price that he paid to bring you into his family?" And I was just so humbled by that. I don't think I've complained since then about any part of it, recognizing the death of my Lord to bring me into the family of God. And so that should encourage listeners, that wonderful truth. Let me just remind our listeners again about the upcoming workshop that you're going to do at First Baptist Church Simpsonville, in case they missed that, October 17th. That's a Saturday. You'll be there, and you'll be explaining just one more time what you'll be introducing people to at that workshop.
You bet. The Your Church and the Orphan Workshop is something that we can only do a few times live a year, and this will be one of them, and this will probably be the last time we're even on the East Coast this year. And at Your Church and the Orphan, if you're a listener and God's blessed you through adoption or through mission trips with orphans or working with foster kids, and you know that he's put this on your heart, he has shaped you in the direction of this subject, there's likely a whole bunch of people in your church that feel the same way. And if you can find those people and come together as a team and be with us at this workshop, you'll learn the 8 steps to launching an orphans ministry in your church. You'll learn things like how to put together a plan to present to your leadership. You know, we've got a pastor here that's hosting us today, and I bet you if we ask him, there's a whole lot of people who come up with great ideas and have a wonderful plan for the rest of his life. but it's rare when a group of his congregation comes before him and says, you know, Pastor, we just want your blessing, and we have a strategic plan here with our vision, our goals, what we want to execute this year.
All right, we're going to take it out. Just remember the website again is hopefororphans.org.
You've been listening to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. Knowing the Truth is the outreach ministry of the Mountain Bridge Bible Fellowship, located on Highway 25 in Travelers Rest. For more information about the church and radio ministry, visit us on the web at knowingthetruth.org.
The opinions expressed on today's program are those of the announcers, their guests, and callers, and do not necessarily represent those of the staff and management of His Radio Network, the Radio Training Network, or Clear Channel Communications.
Life-changing teaching and talk for the Carolinas and Georgia. Christian Talk 660. WLFJ Greenville, Spartanburg, Anderson.